Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom. You realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Coming up on podcast 1484, Tesla adding supercharger wait times amongst a variety of upgrades. Stick around, I'll tell you what I know. Also on the podcast today, your next BMW or Mini could come direct with online sales, cutting out the dealerships. Aptera reveal their reservation number. I think it's a big one, actually. And we'll dig into those stories of the 5 million mile battery, the 10 million mile battery, the lifetime battery. If you've seen the headlines, we'll get under the skin of that story. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Monday, 30th of May. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll start with news of the Nissan Ariya, a car that when it arrives in Europe and North America will be about a year behind when they originally said it would arrive. Nissan's chief operating officer said it's better to limit the orders as to what can realistically be delivered, which is why Nissan has stopped taking any more orders for the Ariya, at least in the US, as production of their all-electric, all-new SUV in Japan is affected by, surprise, supplies, supply chain issues. Now, there was no guidance on how long Nissan might keep the Ariya closed on the order books. Inside EVs did check the US customer website. Ariya page simply says, reservations are now closed. Every customer wants to have it, says Nissan. And we don't want customers to wait. Ariya has been successfully launched around the world, even though cars haven't been delivered for most customers yet. In the US, they've had to request customers stop ordering the vehicle. In its latest earnings announcement, Nissan did reveal they had 6,800 pre-orders in Japan and they'd shipped 1,500. One US dealer telling Automotive News, Nissan allotting around 6,000 vehicles to the US markets, adding that retailers were given a two-month window to order them. I'm not sure whether that is for the last quarter of the year, for the whole of this year, for whatever time period. I couldn't find that out. But those numbers certainly aren't very big for a company like Nissan that led with the Leaf and have a big opportunity with the Ariya. It's genuinely a really, really interesting vehicle. My concerns are it's a year late. It's fabulously expensive for having a Nissan badge on, but hey, see previous podcast about the Aura Funky Cat costing over 30 grand in the UK. EVs appear to be moving into that price bracket that, I don't know, I think you start charging people a lot of money for the top spec Nissan Ariya, and I'd start to go, well, yes, but it's a Nissan. But does anybody care? Am I being a badge snob? But also, when it arrives, it really does have to deliver. Not replacing the Leaf, might I add. Leaf is still around and still a brilliant car. In fact, if anything, if it means that Nissan might discount the Leaf a bit to turn all the attention to the Ariya, I'd say go buy a Leaf. If you haven't got to worry about CHAdeMO and long-range rapid gating, that's still a brilliant car. Ariya has a big, big expectation to fill. I like it, but we'll wait and see. Now, Skoda are next in the news. I told you recently on this podcast about the Czech bit. The Czech Republic, where Skoda is based, has previously been the value part of Volkswagen since VW have owned it and worked wonders with their reputation and their brand and their engineering, let's face it. They have plans to not only build a gigafactory there, they want to be one of the Volkswagen battery factories in Europe, but also now to make vehicles for the rest of the company. Skoda's main production facility, which is in a place that I'm going to definitely butcher, Mlada Boleslav, is going to build vehicles for the rest of the Volkswagen group, which are going to be all electric. They currently make the Skoda Enyaq iV there, and the Octavia and the Czech firm has just opened a new plant there to assemble batteries. I told you about that on the podcast recently. Now they're saying that they'd like to make more vehicles for the VW group on the MEB shared platform. A great bit of news for anyone working at those facilities. Cements their place within the Volkswagen group as well. And I mentioned about pricing. The Skoda Enyaq is another vehicle that I really, really like. I've seen a few of them lately, actually, just driving around here. But by the time that I get through on the configurator and spec it to the kind of Skoda that I want, and I've owned an Octavia before me being into EVs. I had the VRS, the one the police tend to drive on the motorways over here, the one that's got the 1.8-litre turbo Audi TT engine in the front. And that was a beast, and we loved it, and I love estate cars, and we had that for a couple of years, and was really practical, slept in the back of it, all sorts. But I can't get my head around spending so much money on the Enyaq. By the time I spec it to what I want, it doesn't seem like Skoda prices anymore. Or maybe I just need to get with the times, old man, and face the fact that some EVs are expensive. Now let's talk about BMW and Mini. Considering the agency approach in Europe, what do I mean by agency approach? I mean cutting out some of the dealers in Europe and letting the retailers deliver and service the vehicles, but which are sold directly by BMW and Mini. BMW say, we are currently talking with our European dealers about a move to the genuine agency model. Autohaus magazine reporting back in March that BMW plans to end its authorised dealer system in Europe in 2024, Mini 2026, and that's according to Automotive News, autonews.com. They say that BMW's competitors, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, are moving to the agency model as well, where dealerships get paid a flat fee for delivering the vehicle, and it means that the manufacturer holds the inventory, dealers get that fee for shipping the vehicle, but dealers don't have to buy a fixed number of them or a certain number, and then they sit on the lot, and then you're playing around with pricing according to supply and demand. For the car makers themselves, it gives you a direct relationship because they sold you the vehicle. They hold the stock and they sold the car to you, and so the relationship with you is between them, not the franchise dealers. It's going to be really interesting how that plays out. Of course, in Europe, we haven't got the dealer laws that are in the US, where they simply cannot do that in the way that they can do over here. But no doubt, legal agreements, of course, between those non-owned or those franchise dealerships, I should say, because some car makers over here have they own their dealerships, and some of them are independent businesses. Now, let's talk a little bit about Tesla stuff, because there's a ton of Tesla news rolling in, and it's all about the latest over-the-air update rolling out, and that will arrive in your vehicles, 2022.16.0.2, and there's a bunch of things which I think are really interesting that Tesla have once again smashed it with. This one shows the waiting time at superchargers, and it improves the prediction of your energy consumption en route. There's new data related to the weather en route to your supercharger, and of course it knows the state of charge that you will get to. And again, if you set your supercharging limit to 80% in your Tesla, it'll also know how long you're going to be. And it'll know that if there's a wait time at that supercharger, how long you'll have to wait to start charging, and then how long you'll be, etc., etc., and so on. Tesla has long been offering the occupancy rate of superchargers at each of their stations in cars. However, this information isn't enough, since it's not possible to know how long it would actually take to start a charge if everyone is busy. Tesla now including the latest information about wait times, according to TalkNews.com. They're also, of course, opening up their superchargers to other brands. Happened here in the UK for 16 stations, I want to say. I don't know, I've been on holiday, my brain's gone to mush. And across parts of Europe, hasn't started in the US, but they no doubt will. And I'm sure that when they launch in their busy, busy markets, the likes of California, then all of those things they're learning from Europe will be rolled in, and wait times could be a really crucial one as well. I wonder if at some point a station could get so busy that they decide not to make it third party for the next 6 hours or 12 hours. Or maybe on holiday periods, they say, well, it's not going to be a third-party station. It's Tesla only. We're locking it down again for the weekend. I don't know if that would work or whether just to have really irate third-party owners, but really who cares because they're not Tesla owners. But I don't know if they can do that or not, or whether it's just bad customer service, because no doubt, I think, I don't know, let me know if you think I'm reading the tea leaves wrong here, I think there'll be a few third-party drivers that end up using Tesla superchargers that perhaps make their next purchase a Tesla because they've seen how easy that process is. Maybe there's always chargers available. Maybe they just get to look around a Tesla for the first time or talk to fellow Tesla owners at those charging stops, and that's what turns their head. I don't know. We'll wait and see. Also, something that came from Twitter, Elon Musk was asked if the cars could automatically close the windows if the rain sensors sense water, and Elon Musk replied, sure. One word, brevity. But we've seen time and time again where somebody asks something on Twitter, Elon Musk replies, and sometimes within a few weeks, sometimes years later, these features arrive. So no clue yet on. I mean, it should be pretty easy to implement. I'm pretty sure Tesla's engineers, software engineers, have got enough on their plate, but this one should be a reasonably simple one to execute. Drive Tesla Canada point out you can do this already is if you enable the walkaway door lock under the locks menu, and then that will show you the close windows on lock setting, which you can enable, and that way when you walk away from your car, every time the windows will automatically close, the doors will lock when you walk away. It's also got a setting for excluding your home. So if you're in your garage and you like to leave your car windows open for whatever reason, you can exclude your home setting. So as you walk away from your car, those aren't enabled, as it were. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, we'll talk about some Chinese vans in the UK and how many reservations have Aptera got for their funky, funky EV. We'll find out very soon. Keep listening.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Now, one final Tesla software story I want to quickly mention, and I'm not sure I like this, but it's good to have the option, and so I wouldn't turn this on. Maybe you would. When regen braking is reduced because your car is fully charged, or the weather is particularly brutally cold and you haven't got maximum regen, Tesla have, with this latest software update, introduced an option for you to apply the brakes, the physical friction brakes, when regen isn't available or as much regen as would normally be available isn't there. One pedal driving saves a lot of brake pad use, and you get used to it pretty quickly. I'm always a fan of, like, the most hardcore regen I could possibly have. My wife is the opposite. She's loved our two Renault Zoes because almost no regen. There is some, but you have to apply the brake pedal and it blends it. So the first, you know, or depending on how hard you're pushing the pedal, but you push the brake pedal, it's using regen from the motor, push it really hard, emergency stop, it'll do friction brakes as well. And she likes that. It's very analogous to how she learned to drive. Personally, I'm one pedal all the time. Just give me the maximum regen you can give me, and I'll modulate my right foot. Tesla now giving you the option to use the brake pads if your battery is fully charged. And, you know, if your battery is fully charged, obviously, and you go to the end of your road, it can't regen because there's no room in the battery. And so you might come up to a junction that you're used to coming up to and you mistime it. And this will use the friction brakes to give you that sensation of the normal battery regen. I don't need that kind of level of babysitting. I think some people might like it, and I'm cool. But how many Teslas are fully charged every day anyway? How many Tesla owners go to 100% with the LFP batteries in the Model 3s and the Model Ys? Well, they would, because they like to be charged to 100%. So I can see why they're doing this. Now, Aptera are next in the news. They are the makers of the funky three-wheelers, announcing they've got 22,000 reservations for their EV that has a bit of solar power on it as well, up to 1,000 miles of range for the most hardcore version, and the super efficient three-wheeler, which is just like a complete sci-fi vehicle if you haven't seen it. Tiny, tiny drag coefficient of 0.13, 250 miles of range on a very small battery pack for $26,000, but you can fully spec it for 1,000 miles. You don't need to do that. And all the solar panel stuff as well. 22,000 reservations, I think, is pretty good because you've still got to put money down. It's not a hand raise or an interest thing. You actually have got to pay a deposit. So I think that's really, really good for Aptera second time around. Good luck to that company. Now in China, SAIC. Hey, they make the MG that we own at the moment. They have a brand called Maxus. They make commercial vehicles and trucks and things. Unveiling two new electric models. There's the MIFA, M-I-F-A, MIFA, MIFA, the van, and the T90 pickup. And they can be ordered in the UK from August this year. Delivery early 2023. The first of the two models is the MIFA, or the MIFA 9. That is a van. We first saw that at the Chinese Auto Show back in November 2021. It's an electric seven-seater, 5.27 meters long, and it's got a 93 kilowatt hour battery with CATL cells. That'll do some decent mileage, maybe 200 and something miles on that with a 93 kilowatt hour battery for a very big seven-seat van. And there's also the electric pickup truck, which I think this is the first electric pickup truck you can spec order in the UK, I think, anyway. It's currently available in China, now coming to the UK, 150 kilowatt motor, 88 kilowatt hour battery, again, pretty big. And if you need a pickup truck as a working vehicle, we don't drive pickup trucks over here. We haven't got truck culture, so you wouldn't drive one as a statement or, you know, as just a general vehicle. You'd be a tradie and you know like a ute in Aussie. But yeah, that's amazing. I can't wait to see more of those vehicles. Now, if you've seen the headlines about the 2 million mile battery, the 5 million mile battery, the lifetime battery, these have been headlines have been floating around because researchers led by Jeff Dahn at Dalhousie University in Canada work for Tesla, and they've been updating some of their research or publishing their latest research on NMC cells. Now, LFP gets all of the attention at the minute. It's a chemistry, lithium iron phosphate, because those are, at the minute, providing everything that EVs need to. The nickel, manganese, cobalt cells have some issues around supply chains, some issues around where those materials come from, but they are higher energy density. All of this, these headlines around Tesla's invented the lifetime battery. What's actually happened here is Jeff Dahn and his team have been doing some work on low voltage charging. So normally your batteries, the cell, each individual cell, not the battery as a whole, would be charged to around 4.2 volts. Well, they've been saying, actually, if you charge it to a lower voltage, use the NMC chemistry, as we've seen up until, you know, many EVs now, but they've been doing some work on lower voltage charging. You still get very high energy density and a very much increased lifetime compared to LFP. Now, LFP cells provide less energy density because of the material having both smaller specific and volumetric capacity, as well as lower average voltage. But they have stability, They have safety characteristics that are better than NMC cells. But these NMCs, so nickel, manganese, cobalt, the NMC 532 cells, when constructed with only sufficient graphite to be charged at 3.8 volts, much less than usual, they have a higher energy density than LFP cells, and more importantly, a life cycle, or a cycle life, that exceeds LFP cells at various temperatures up to 70 degrees C. So if you use an application with a lot of cycle life required, so stationary energy storage, I've got a 10 kilowatt hour battery pack in my garage. It's a few weeks in. I haven't made a podcast about it yet because I'm still testing it. It's the Solar Edge one. And they use NMC cells. And the most I'm ever going to pull from it is 5 kilowatts. That's the maximum compared to a car. You know, it's a 10th, a 20th of the energy that would come out of that pack. So really low stress, but it's going to be in my garage, hopefully, for at least 10 plus years. They warranty it for that at least. And it's going to go through a lot of cycle life because we have a lot of solar panels here and it's constantly kind of living between about 20 and 80%. So it'll get to 80 and I'll think, oh, okay, let's put the car on charge. Let's heat up some extra hot water. And then it'll go down to 20 and we'll let the solar panels recharge it a bit. I don't really get it to the top. We don't really drain it down to the bottom, although there's nothing stopping us doing that, of course. And so these cells would, in theory, last an awfully long time, and that's what led to all those headlines, which you may have seen, the more simplistic stories around this of, you know, the lifetime battery, the 5 million mile battery, etc., etc. Now in China, Zeekr, which is the premium bit of Geely, announcing they've released 20,000 vehicles now into the market of their Zeekr 001. They say they spent 192 days from announcing the brand to delivering their first vehicle. Their first 10,000 units came 110 days later, and the next 10,000 cars came 107 days later. The cars cost around $40,000-$50,000 equivalent, 0-60 in 3.8 seconds, and the longest range one doing 712 kilometres. And that's your podcast for today. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com returns next Monday. There won't be one this week. Thank you very much to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island, YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, emobilitynorway.com, Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map and one app, and millbrookcottages.co.uk, five-star luxury accommodation down in the southwest in Devon. Have a lovely day. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom. You realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.